The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In just 1 hour's time, but we're back in the swing of it. We got the Browns Saints this Sunday. We got a lot of things to talk about the Browns in general. And to do so, we welcome on 90 Very Own, brought to you by Jewelry Store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good. How did you spend your bye week? Nice and rested, maybe?
Something like that. Spent it recovering from whatever it was that got me under the weather a week ago. So
was that also Mac Robinson?
I was going to say Mac. You just got everybody sick.
Yeah. You didn't work with Mac, did you?
Yeah, probably did.
Whoa. I mean, this man's body count is like Dahmer.
Patient zero.
Like, good God, Mac. Is there somebody you haven't fallen? Like, you have felled half the station. I'm sorry. This is probably better off-air conversation. Daryl.
So he's the one that's responsible. Huh?
I think he is patient zero. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is 28 days later. Now I'm just using a bunch of movie metaphors. Deion Sanders has alluded to the fact that if his son or Travis Hunter is in danger of being drafted somewhere he doesn't want them to go or doesn't think is proper, that he would sway NFL teams, basically would threaten to pull some shenanigans and scare the teams away from them. Do you think that Deion's hypothetical power play actually could work?
Well, I mean, for his own kid, sure. I don't know about someone else's, but for his own, sure.
Do you think that that might steer a team like, let's say, the Cleveland Browns away from drafting a Shedeur Sanders?
Depends on where they fall in his unacceptable list.
If you had a child, would your child be on the unacceptable list when it came to being drafted by the Browns?
Yeah, I would not let the Browns draft my kid, no.
Okay.
If he's a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting you in Deion's shoes, and you would say no chance you would let your kid come to Cleveland.
Oh, this is quarterback. This is like the quarterback hell here. Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks come to die here. So, yeah, I would not let my kid, if he was a quarterback, be drafted by the Browns.
So you expecting a big bounce back game from Jameis this weekend?
That's a hell of a segue.
Just rip the Band-Aid off there, dog.
Jameis also part of the quarterback graveyard.
Yeah. No, he's still alive. He's got to be for the rest of the season.
That's what you think.
Oh, jeez. Daryl.
A lot can happen between now and whenever it is they decide to play the season finale in Baltimore.
Oh, I thought you were acting like it was up in air that they would play it.
No.
TBD. Yeah.
TBD.
Why don't we just give you this game? We're just going to go home early. You know, Bali isn't going to party itself.
If only they could forfeit in week 18, right?
That's bleak. That's a little bleak.
At some point, I think we're going to get the Bailey Zappi experience. We're probably going to see DTR again at some point. Like, that's just how these things go. So I'm not expecting this year to be any other different. It's not going to depart from tradition in my view.
So do you think Jameis is playing for his job this weekend?
No, I don't think he's playing for his job, but I mean, at some point they're going to probably want to put DTR on the field. It's part of the reason I asked Kevin what I did on Monday, and Kevin did what Kevin does and not really answer the question other than say that they're trying to win football games.
I did think Kevin body bagged Jed Wills today, though.
I don't know. I think Jed Wills body bagged himself.
Yeah, but then, I mean, you talk about graves.
Yeah, but Jed doesn't know what that
Stefanski
means.
Stefanski danced on graves today with Jed Wills. Like, that was a world-class performance by Stefanski.
Well, here's the thing, though. The only quote people are paying attention to is the business decision quote. Nobody paid attention to anything else Jed had to say on Monday about the fact that he's been playing with cartilage damage in his knee. He's been playing with a bone bruise in his knee, that he remembers the ridicule that he was subject to when he played through ankle injuries and wasn't able to, you know, perform at a level that he was expected to. And he basically said, why would I subject myself to that again while also at the same time subjecting myself to really messing up my knee? Because the same knee that's bothering him is the same knee he had surgery on last year.
And Daryl, by the way, on Tuesday when we first got to talk about it, we did explore all those different areas. And then I raised the point. I was like, why, if he believed he was 70%, because that's what he said in the interview, why at 70% then was the Browns medical staff clearing him?
Yeah, I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I think the Browns screw up a lot of these injuries, to be perfectly honest with you, because you had three tackles coming into this season off of knee surgeries. DeJuan Jones was a disaster for the first 5 weeks. You had the Jed situation, not ready for week one, and then Jack Conklin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other component about guys wanting to play or do things before they're actually ready to do it. You know, that's another part of this, too. But, it was a great quote. A lot of people got a lot of clicks out of it. A lot of hot takes got to be spewed. But I kind of understood where Jed was coming from when he was talking on Monday about all the issues he's been dealing with. And why, you know, he didn't want to put himself out there. Because here's the thing. He goes out there at 70%. What happens if he completely olays on a play because he can't move the way he needs to and the quarterback gets killed? What's happening the next day? Everyone's killing Jed Wills for that.
Well, but he's healthy in doing that, so I don't know why.
He's not healthy. That's the whole point you guys are missing with this.
Yeah, but
he's not healthy.
Yeah, but he has been healthy at points in 5 years and has olayed.
Well, whatever. I'm talking about this specific instance. He's not healthy. He wasn't healthy. He didn't feel he was healthy, and he said, "I need the week off." Like I don't get the controversy, but.
Didn't you post the video?
As someone told me today, if it was another player on the team that was much more beloved by the fan base and by talk show hosts and the media and all that, would anyone else be objecting to anything he said on Monday?
Daryl, I think you need to go back and listen to what we actually said yesterday, because if you keep saying
I didn't listen and I don't need to hear it. I was there in front of Jed Wills. I heard what he said, and that's what I'm conveying to the audience.
No, I know, but like you grouped us all into this, and we're seeing the exact same thing that you're saying right now. We said it yesterday. Like, we're lockstep with you 100% of the way. I don't know why you think that everyone was just dogging on Jed for two straight days, because that's not what we did at all yesterday.
Well, I'm not. I've seen the headlines on the website. So someone at the station's been dogging. A lot of people at the stations have been dogging on Jed.
Okay, but you grouped us into it, and that's not us, man.
Well, sorry, I don't listen to all the hot takes. Sorry.
Just
I don't listen to
them.
Any of them, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, that's good that you work at a radio station then, Daryl. All right, I don't read the website. Didn't you post the
clearly
video,
not.
By the way?
You know how many times I posted stuff on the website and nobody ever acknowledges it?
So, I got to acknowledge every single thing you do?
No. Do I need to acknowledge every hot take you guys have?
Yes.
Okay, well, all right, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how this goes. By the way, didn't you post the video while calling out the term business decision?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking for the scoreboard.
And also, hang on. Did you watch the whole video in which I included all the other clips about him talking about his injuries?
Sure did, fella.
All right.
I think I might have even liked that video.
I think we played some of that video.
You're welcome.
Well, but then, because I was the one that got the audio for it, so, you know.
Well, here's your cookie. So this Saints game, thoughts?
Well, I mean, the Saints are a mess. The Browns are a mess. Should be a spectacular four quarters of football. Can't wait.
Just real quick here, if you're near the 480 bridge, just keep driving. As this has been a real, I mean, just I will say, we, you know, call a loved one, call a family member, call a friend. Like, let's just keep you going here. There's light. It's not right now because it's dark outside and it's 6:10, but there will be light tomorrow morning. By the way, a little news to pass along here. Kenny Atkinson says Sam Merrill out for tonight. Jared Allen is a game time decision with a left lower leg strain. And Kenny also said Evan Mobley is ill, but going to try and give it a try in warmups. Any sunshiny thoughts on the Cavs? Maybe the NBA Cup? Anything with the Cavs? Anything, Bueller?
Of the things I care about, the NBA Cup does not register, but the Cavs are off to quite the start. They're a lot of fun to watch. It's incredible the impact that Kenny Atkinson has had both on the floor as well as the new life that seems to be breathed into that locker room behind the scenes. So Kobe was right. Kept the core together. And, you know, they are, you know, proving that that was the right decision to make, re-signing everyone this offseason or extending everyone this offseason.
Daryl, it's been a gem as always, friend.
I'm not listening to your hot takes. I apologize. It's just I see the stuff on social media. I see the reactions. And so I apologize for lumping you guys in. But, you know, I just think that sometimes you can't get caught up in two or three words or a quote. And you gotta listen to the whole story. And I don't think people did that in this case with Jed Wills, present company excluded.
I don't think Jed really earned that, though. Like, we agree with what you're saying, but I think if we didn't have 75 videos on social media of Jed playing for 2 of 4 seconds of a play.
He ain't going to be here next year anyway. It
doesn't
matter.
Yeah, but you know how this goes. This is not your first rodeo with a god-awful team that can't even meet the bare minimum of expectations. Like, this is what happens. Jed, when things are good, there are people who have it out for Jed. When you're 2-7 and he uses a phrase like at some point, you got to be smarter than that. Yeah?
Yeah. And that's what I think Kevin expressed to him, too.
Also, just because they're opinions doesn't mean they're hot takes, but appreciate you, friend.
Later.
Daryl Ryder there. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. It was a lot of fun. I am all about a stat that I love to come to care about stats that I didn't know existed 3 weeks ago. The Cavs winning streak being one of them.
Which was great, by the way, when you asked Danny Green like what the best start was to his NBA career or any season that stood out, and he's like, I don't really have an answer for that, man.
I believe he said the best seasons were like when we started 0-2.
Yeah, he was like, I don't really have a great answer for that.
I also will love, just real quick, on because we gave the update on Jarrett's a game time decision, and Evan is ill, and so he might kind of be a game time decision. I just love that I saw like 3 Cavs fans and 1 member of the media be like, man, the streak might end tonight. It's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. You still got guards and a deeper rotation than Philly does.
No. To be fair to them, I think Sam Merrill, in exchange for Embiid, Maxey, and Paul George, might be a wash.
Yeah, that's people have been saying that for
a
while.
That might be a wash. Yeah. We are giving up a lot here.
Yeah, because what we haven't talked about with the Cavs is that while Ty Jerome has made a quantum leap forward, Sam Merrill has taken a half step back. He's shooting like 36% for 3, which for him is might as well be shooting 20%.
Yeah, he just shoots, man. He just chucks
goes.
It. He really does that.
Everybody got the green light. Everybody's feeling it except Sam. And by the way, I do think he might, like, I think this left ankle thing, I think he might be a little banged up. Like, I'm willing to give him that pass. But man, if they were like 6-6 right now, we'd be like, what the hell is going on with Sam Merrill?
That is tough though. It's like having a group of buddies that all got into like Bitcoin at the same time, and then you're the one that went with the nondescript other cryptocurrency, and they're all rich, and you're like, oh,
and you got you were on the side of the billionaires with what was that? The GameStop thing that actually lost?
That lost, yeah.
Where like the poor folks won for once. Yeah.
It's just you're at a table, like, everyone's eating, and you're just not eating.
And you're like, these billionaires, they're not dumb. They're never going to lose this. And then they lost that. Although one of them now owns a sports team. So part of the Hornets ownership group. Yeah, you heard that here. Now, speaking of obscure and I do mean obscure stats, Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh will coach against each other this Sunday for the 36th time. And it really just made me realize that, like, that is a great coaching rivalry that we just, like, collectively is not talked about nearly enough.
Do we know the record? To put you on the spot there, do we know the record between these two in those matchups?
No, I don't.
I know you don't. I know you didn't. I know.
But I'd like to think it's like 18 and 18.
Wouldn't that be great if they were just equal and matched up?
Here's the bad thing. It was probably in the article that
you know,
I read.
I know it was. I saw it. Well, you saw it on ProFootballTalk.com.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that because I saw it earlier, too.
And then that's the one that I was just like, the piece of information that I probably should have retained wasn't the one that I did retain.
I didn't click on it. I need everyone to know that when I saw the headline, I instantly thought to myself, man, Florio's digging this week, isn't he? Well, because it's not like a 40. It's not a 35. It's matchup number 36.
Tomlin is 20-15 against Harbaugh.
I mean, I've been saying it for a while. This is why Tomlin's a better coach.
He's got his number.
Because I knew.
Got his number.
It was 20-15 in 35 games.
But it's such an, you know, it's like number 36. It's not number 35 like last time or 40, like 40 coming up. 36. Okay.
I think there's a chance this is the game where everybody comes over to my side.
What's your side?
My side, and I don't know when I flipped the switch. It was probably the first time that I saw for Russell Wilson throw for like 250 plus yards and several touchdowns, and I was like, they can.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that? I didn't know a Pittsburgh quarterback could do that.
I'm still not convinced.
That's what I think this game is about. If Russ goes out there, looks really good. I don't think the Ravens put it all together. I know they've thrown a lot of bodies at the cornerback and safety position, but I'll just be honest with you, man. Like, I think the Steelers are the better team right now, and I really think there's a really damn good chance that the Steelers are the team that has the better chance of representing the AFC North in the Super Bowl, more so than the Ravens.
In the Russell Wilson time there, the only impressive win they have is, I mean, it's just last week. It was the game against the Commanders. That's it.
Which is totally fair, but...
And they tried, Nick. They tried shooting themselves in the foot often in that game. Did you see the special teams play where it was the fake punt and then they threw it to the sideline and the wide receiver just dropped it? They tried in many ways to just give away that game.
And they still scored 28
still
points.
Had enough moon balls in him that he just tossed it up and just made it all work. Why is Pickens all of a sudden back to being everything we thought George Pickens could be?
Because he's got a functional quarterback.
I mean, it's amazing what that does, though. Like, we talk about this with Deshaun, or at least we did. Like, what's the impact of Deshaun on guys like Cedric Tillman and some of these other wide receivers? Point to what's happening with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and like that might be exhibit A, because George Pickens is just balling right now.
But I think that's, like, we've said for a couple years now, all that team needs is a functional quarterback. And that's really what Russ is. And so, like, and again, they're not playing perfect ball, and I think that's fair to admit it. They beat up on a lot of bad teams. But I think that's why this game is what this game is set up to be.
I still think there's a massive leap between functional quarterback and what might be the best quarterback in the game right now in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but the problem is...
Number one scoring offense, not even close. Like, I mean, there's so many things Baltimore's doing right now. Their defense is still... It's trash. I don't know how their defense has gotten to this point. You can pass all day on them. But, like, the difference offensively to me is so large. I can give the Steelers credit. I can say Arthur Smith, you have this thing going in the right direction, but I can't put him up in the same class as the Ravens.
I think where you're missing is I think that the difference between the two defenses is night and day. And that is a little rough because Jaden Daniels had a good enough game this last week to win.
And that first half for both quarterbacks was so ugly, though.
I think
Jaden Daniels had it was 70 passing yards in the first half.
I think when it comes down to it, the Ravens' defensive issues are here to stay. The Steelers, they've just had some bad health at the edge spot with Alex Highsmith, who's out for this game. Herbig's been hurt, but they're getting Herbig.
A good defense, though.
But they've been
really good.
They've been getting Herbig back. They got Preston Smith. So they're top four edge rushers. And this is before you get to who's up front and playing up front on the D-line with the always great Cam Hayward. You're talking about Preston Smith, T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig when they're at full strength. That's terrifying. Oh, and by the way, they actually have the best. And here's the other thing. I don't think they're going to figure it out in the secondary. I think the Ravens, that might be their Achilles heel.
It'd be the one spot that would have me worried entering the postseason. I just wonder if their offense has just hit a spot with Derrick Henry in there, who's averaging 125 yards a game. In the bet of football, Nick, are you taking dominating offense or are you going to take better defense over mediocre defense? And it just the difference between the Ravens' offense relative to the Steelers' offense, I think, is greater than the difference between what the Steelers' defense is and what the Ravens' defense is.
Ooh.
If you match it up relative to how much more important the offense is in today's NFL.
So that's why I think, because again, I think you're where a lot of people are. And this is not something I came to the conclusion just because of four wins. The last two have been close wins. I mean, I think that's kind of what's on the line with this game.
Well, because think about it. In order to make this take, you have to be telling yourself that there's something about the Ravens that you don't love. And you said it's the defense, which I can respect that. They've beaten so many good teams already, though. They're doing the same thing they did last year. The biggest concern I have about them is the postseason.
Yeah, well, but I think that's
I know how great they are in the regular season. They were great last year, too. But if you're giving me a matchup between the two of them right now, I'm taking the Ravens, but I know that's not the question. The question is who would come out of the AFC and find their way to the Super Bowl?
So you've got what I would say is a C defense there, maybe C plus.
It's plummeted. There's no denying it.
With Lamar, who, when again, some of this is when he faces Mahomes. That was the deal last year. That's still one off season. That's his best, that's his best postseason. And so,
And that was winning one game, and then in the AFC title game, the best throw he had all day was a pass he completed to himself.
And I think
that was
look
a disaster
this,
of an AFC title game.
What do you need to beat Mahomes? What do you need to get deep in the playoffs? You need to be able to rush the hell out of the quarterback, drop seven in coverage. You can do that with the way the Steelers play, and in an offense that scores some points but doesn't turn the ball over. Russ really in the back half of his career has done a really good job. When they don't let him cook, of just kind of playing it safe.
I can't get past the idea that if I put up Lamar versus Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson at this point is going to come out victorious.
But I think that's where people err on the side of. No, I just think the Steelers are a better team, and I think we're going to see that on Sunday. And I think it's going to be really hard for Browns fans who came into the season. I'm one of them who thought, man, the Steelers team, this is probably the year it falls apart, that this could end up being the best Steelers team they had and the most legitimate championship team since 2014.
They can't slow play him the way they did that game against the Commanders, though. They can't do it the same way, because that was a disaster of a first half for both sides, and then the second half was much different story. And that's where Russ really was great in the third and fourth quarter. First half of that game, he was just as bad as Jaden Daniels was.
You
can't give Lamar that type of cushion.
If the Steelers win, you're going to come over to my side?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Not a chance. I'd be very impressed, though, because beating the Ravens in the regular season, not something that's easy to do in the previous couple years, and it's just an impossible task, it seems like, against Lamar.
If you had to bet money on the Steelers or Ravens being the better title contender from the AFC North right now, who would you put money on? I think I'm going with the Steelers, and I cannot believe that I've come to that realization in the last four games here. We'll get to that. We also have In Case We Missed It next on 92.3 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.